This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. Proverbs 19 and 20 says this. It says, hear counsel and receive instruction. You know what's amazing, folks? The wisest man who ever lived spoke more about us needing counsel than anybody else. That's interesting to me. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, spoke more about the need for counsel and discretion and wisdom from others than anybody else. Look, that thou mayest be wise in the latter end. Look here, what was that? Paraphrase it, Pastor, I sure will. What it's saying, you get instruction, you get counsel, you get teaching, because you want to make sure as your life gets longer, you get wiser. See, folks, as I get older, I want to get wiser. Many people just get older and get crankier. But I don't want to get older and crankier. I literally want to get older and wiser. Amen? I really want to be like Jesus. I want His wisdom. So let us pray. God, as we bow our heads and our hearts in Your presence, I pray that You would speak to us and through us, meet the needs of Your people, and for all You do, we're going to give You glory, we're going to give You honor, we're going to give You praise. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about principles we learn from football. Principles we learn from football. Now, I want you to understand something. The principles we live by will determine the world that we live in. The principles we live by will determine the world that we live in. But I truly believe there are some wonderful principles that we can learn about life from football. But what's so important is we must see it properly. We must see the principles properly. Now, there was a football player. He played for the Kansas City Chiefs. His name was Fred Arbanus. Fred Arbanus. Now, I'm sure nobody knows who Fred Arbanus is and was, but he was a unique football player, and this is what made Fred Arbanus, this great tight end, so unique. He had an artificial eye. Literally, he had an artificial eye. And so sometimes this big tight end would take a lick and the eye would come out. Not an exaggeration. When the eye came out, Fred Arbanus would pick the eye up. He would walk over and he would dip it in a bucket of water and he would rinse it off, and then Fred Arbanus would put the eye back in. True story. One day he was playing, the eye came out. Referee Tommy Bell said, Fred, this is ridiculous. This is ridiculous that you're playing football when you only have one eye. Fred, what if something happened and you had a serious injury to the other eye? Literally, you lost both eyes. He said, Fred, what would you do? And Fred said to referee Tommy Bell, well, I guess I could become a referee like you. Amen? So it's so important that we see the principles that are here and we apply those principles to our lives. Now, there's four simple principles that I believe we learn from football. Principle number one is this. Football teaches us to have the right foundation. Football teaches us to have the right foundation. Did you ever think about this, folks? We got this football here, and this is pretty elementary. But here's a thought. You've got a football right there. Did you ever try to stand on a football? Listen, I wouldn't recommend that you try standing on a football. Because let me tell you something. You might just break your neck. Amen? Because here's what I know. Football cannot be our foundation. It's not something that you can stand on. Now, I want you to understand, folks, many people are trying to stand on things that you just can't stand on. Many people are trying to stand on possessions. Many people are trying to stand on their careers. Many people are trying to stand on relationships. Many people are trying to stand on popularity. Many people are trying to stand on a diversity of things. But I want you to know, folks, you can only stand on one thing. Amen? Amen. You can only stand on one thing. You said, Pastor, well, we can't stand on that stuff. What can we stand on? Well, the Bible tells us this. Look what he says. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Who built his house upon the rock. Now, before I came to Rock Springs Church, I pastored a church called Sweeten Hill Church. I actually pastored that church for 3 years. I left there for health reasons. The deacons got sick of me, but I pastored the church for 3 years. And every Sunday morning, the children would come out before we had Sunday school, and the children would sing. Now, I never went to Sunday school as a kid, but those children would come out, and they would sing, and I would be sitting there, and I would watch those children sing, and I would hear those children say this: the wise man built his house upon the rock. Built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rain came stumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. I will be leading worship next Sunday. But look, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house. Look, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Look here. You want to know how you'll know whether or not you're on the right foundation? When the storm comes. You want to know how you're going to know if you're on the right foundation? I'll promise you, folks, the way you'll know that you're on the right foundation is when the storm comes to your life. And if your house is built upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll promise you, folks, you'll be able to stand. Look what the next verse. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, football or anything else can't be your foundation. Only Jesus Christ can be your foundation. Only Jesus Christ can be your foundation. You know, I didn't realize this, but when I was a young boy, I was into social media. I didn't even realize it, but when I was a young boy, I was into social media. Let me explain. When I was in, I think, about the third grade, there was a girl in my class. Her name was Dessa. And I thought Dessa was so pretty. I did. Now, not as pretty as you, Barbara, but I thought Dessa was pretty. And I was in the third grade, and I sent Dessa a note. And this is what I said. I said, Dessa, I like you. And I said, Dessa, do you like me? And then I put two boxes. I put two boxes and I put check yes or no. And Dessa checked no. And I'm still trying to get over it after all these years. But look, folks, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I acted as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. And ladies and gentlemen, we've got people that are still living for the likes. We've got people that are still controlled by the likes. I'm devastated. Why are you devastated? She defriended me. Honey, you're crippled too high for crutches. I remember years ago watching an interview. I'll never forget it. It was on 60 Minutes. It was Tom Brady, probably the greatest player to ever play the game. And Tom Brady, at that time, had won 3 or 4 Super Bowls, and he was married to a supermodel, and he had all these rings. And he looked at the announcer from 60 Minutes, and Tom Brady said, "There's got to be more. There's got to be more." And the announcer said, "Tom, what do you think it is?" And he said, "I wish I knew." I thought, "Oh, give me 5 minutes with Tom. Give me 5 minutes and I'll say, Tom, you can keep winning Super Bowls. You can keep having models. You can keep having all the money. You can have the back rub, the hot tub, the drink at the pub, but it'll leave you empty unless you know Jesus Christ, because he is the foundation." Oh, listen, folks, you can't stand on football and you can't stand on anything else other than Jesus Christ. Football teaches us that you've got to have the right foundation. I'll tell you what else football teaches us. Football teaches us that you've got to have the right feeling. Now, I didn't know this. You probably did. But before every NFL football game, the opposing teams have to present 12 footballs 2 hours and 15 minutes before the game to the referee. Each opposing team, so that's 24 balls, 12 on each side, they have to present them to the referee 2 hours and 15 minutes before the game. Now get this. The balls, when they present them, the referee will weigh the ball. And it's got to weigh between 15 and 16 ounces. And in order to weigh between 15 and 16 ounces, it's got to have the right feeling. Let me tell you what God said to the church. No, that's us. He said to the church in Ephesus 5:18, "Don't you be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." Wait. He said we've got to have the proper feeling. That we can't do this on our own. We've got to have the proper feeling. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't do it on your own. You've got to have the proper feeling. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to lead you, direct you, guide you, show you. But you've got to have the proper feeling. Now look, every time I preach, I'm preaching 3 times today, somewhere tonight, in another state. You say, "Where are you going?" I'll know when I get there. Get this. Every time I preach to 3 people. I preach to the person who doesn't know Christ. And by the way, the Holy Spirit's not in their lives. You said, Pastor, you shouldn't say that. I didn't say it. The Bible says it. Romans 8 and 9 says, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So I just wonder, Pastor Benny, I just wonder, do I have the Holy Spirit inside of me? How can I know? I'll tell you one way you can know. If he's inside of you, you can't sin and get by with it. Now look, I did not say you couldn't sin, but I said you can't sin, get by with it. I'll get to this. Barbara and I were on vacation, and we were coming back from Panama City. We were coming back, and it's in July. Traffic's bumper to bumper, and the guy in front of me just won't go on. I'm thinking, my gosh, Barbara, goodness gracious. You know what I'm going to love about the rapture? Boom, we're there. Amen. I'm going to love that. I thought, my God, where did this guy get his license, Barbara? And he's just going, and lo and behold, he's staying at the same place we're staying. And I'm right up on his bumper. Let's go. Come on. And finally, he tries to turn in. I come beep and just shoot around. I went. I get to where we're staying and. Few minutes, I said, Barbara, I need to ride down the post office. And I went so I wouldn't lie. I don't know why I didn't tell this in none of the services. I wish I didn't have to tell it now. But I stopped by that man's house. And I said, sir, I'm a Christian. Worse than that, I'm a preacher. But you wouldn't know it by how I acted. And I said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? He said, I sure will. He said, why don't we just get together some while we're down here? I said, sounds good. Especially if you're buying, but anyway, especially. But see, that's what the Holy Spirit does. Don't you tell me you can see and get by with it. No, he'll plow your corn. You say, how do you know? I know it firsthand because he does mine. I got to move. But look, there's those people that don't know the Lord. Now look, there's other people who've received the Lord. God comes into the life. The Holy Spirit comes into the life. But you're not sold out for him. You're trying to live both ways. You're trying to be worldly and churchy, and you forget who you are. And one day you want to be churchy, and the next day you want to be worldly, and you just forget who you are. And then, see, folks, there's the group that's totally sold out to him, and they have his presence working and operating in their lives. They have his presence working and operating in their lives. See, get this. I want you to understand this. In the Old Testament, God had a temple. God had a temple for his people. But in the New Testament, he has a people for his temple. I want you to understand. Well, let me explain. I'll move to the next point. But I'll move. But look, folks. We house the Holy Spirit. What did you say, Pastor? What are you talking about? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? We house the Holy Spirit. Inside this beautiful orange shirt that I've got on, the Holy Spirit dwells inside. Now, some of you were red. I don't know. Maybe not. I just don't know. But inside this beautiful orange shirt. No, let me explain. Listen, you house the Holy Spirit. But get this. He has to have access to every room. He has to have access to your social room. He has to have access to your thought room. He has to have access to your business room. He has to have access to your recreational room. He has to have access to your financial room. You say, Pastor Benny, I want to be filled with God's presence. You've got to give him access to every room in your life. Get this. Football teaches us to have the right foundation. Football teaches us to have the right feeling. But football teaches us to have the right fixation. It teaches us to have the right fixation. Let me explain. Football players want to play. Football players want to play. They want in the game. A few days ago, we had David Pollock here. And I was talking to Pollock back before the service started. And I said, Pollock, I played football. He said, you're kidding. I said, no, Pollock, I played football. He said, you did. He said, what position did you play? I said, well, actually, I played tailback. He said, you're kidding. I said, no. Every time I ran out on the field, the coach said, get your tail back here. Get your tail back here. But get this. Even though he was saying that, I still want it on the field. Because football players have got a fixation that they want to play. They want in the game. Now look, the average church in America, most churches in America, and I'll move, you'll see where I'm going with this. Most churches in America look like a football stadium. Most churches in America look like a football stadium. You say, wait, whoa, Pastor, explain. Oh, I will. Get this. You've got 22 people. They're on the field. They're working hard. They're battling. They're serving. I mean, they're ferocious. They're doing everything. They're giving it all. Remember the scripture says, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all of your might. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. There's 22 people on the football field. And ladies and gentlemen, they're giving it everything they've got. But wait. They're in desperate need of rest. But you've got 50,000 people in the stands who are in desperate need of exercise. That's the average church in America. This is good. You're not responding as well as I'm preaching. That is the average church in America. Because most people in the church, their favorite song is, I shall not be moved. I believe it. But nobody saved a set. God has gifted you. God has given you a position, sir. And God wants you in the game. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man or woman hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. What does God want us to do? Take your time, take your talent, take your testimony, take your treasure, and get in the game. Get in the game. This is not a spectator sport. Everybody ought to be serving. Everybody ought to be serving. God said to Moses on one occasion, Exodus 4:2, Moses, what is that in your hand? I want to ask you something. What have you got in your hand? You know what God's saying? What's that in your hand? What's your talent? What about your time? What about your treasure? What about your testimony? Well, God said, what is that in your hand? Now look, folks, you can keep it in your hand and nothing will become of it. What's that in your hand? Lay it down. Oh. And when he laid it down, ladies and gentlemen, when he laid it down, a miracle took place. And what was just a dead old rod that was lifeless, God did something supernatural with. God performed a miracle with. God did the wonderful with. Oh, listen, folks. Here's all I'm trying to say, and I'll move to the last point. Somebody says, oh, I don't feel qualified. That's just the rod. Oh, Pastor Benny, I just don't feel qualified. That's a good indication that you ought to do it. Because when you just take the rod that's in your hand, God's put it in your hand. God's given you the ability. God's given you the talent. God's given you the treasure. But when you lay it down, God does supernatural with it. Hey, folks, 69% of the people in the churches in America don't even know what their spiritual gift is. 7 out of 10 don't even know what their spiritual gift is. How can they serve him when they've never realized how God's gifted them when God has gifted everybody? I want to give you one more and I'm done. Football teaches us to have the right focus. Football teaches us to have the right focus. You say, Pastor Benny, what do you mean to focus? Well, if you know anything about football, if you know anything about football, I'll tell you something. If you go to a game, you got to look at the scoreboard. Somebody says, it don't matter who wins or loses. Well, why do we keep score? You got to look at the scoreboard. Now get this. You say, Pastor, this is important right here, isn't it? Oh, yeah, this is important. But by the way, this is important too. Because the minutes are ticking down. I want you to know something, folks. The minutes are ticking down for you and me too. We better look at the scoreboard. We better look at the scoreboard because the minutes are ticking down. And one day the game's going to be over. So make sure you look at the scoreboard. If I had a boy and he played football and he was good enough to play college football on D1 level, there's three coaches I would have wished he could have played for. I wish you could have played for Bobby Bowden, or I wish you could have played for Mark Rick, or I wish you could have played for Dabo Sweeney. Because they understand something. There's something far more important than winning a football game. That's raising up and building men. That's raising up and building men. Bobby Bowden's been here on two occasions, and he told me, he said, Pastor Benny, what happened on one occasion? He said, I had a young man who played for me named Pablo Lopez. And he said, Pablo went out partying and got killed. And he said, I didn't know anything to do, preacher, but call a team meeting. And he said, I called a team meeting. And he said, I said to my team, right there's Pablo's chair. And he said, I got to be honest with you. He said, I don't know where Pablo's at. I don't know where Pablo's at. I'm just going to be honest with you boys. And by the way, folks, eternity's too long to be wrong. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but for God's sake, we got to know that we know that we know. We got to know that we know that we know. Because the clock's counting down. And then Coach Bowden said, by the way, boys, you can know where you're going when you die. And if you want to know more about this, come by my office today. He said, I no more got in my office till somebody started knocking on the door. And he said, I looked, and lo and behold, a guy said to me, I'm not a player, coach, but I'm on your staff. Can you talk to me about what you just talked to the boys about? He said, Rick, come on in. And Mark Rick walked in the door. And I've heard Rick tell this story 15 times. And Rick said, I said, I don't want to become a Christian because I'm afraid I'll have to go to Africa and I don't know what God's going to do if I do all this. He said, no, no, no. It doesn't work that way. When you become a Christian, what God wants you to do, you'll be willing to do. You'll be willing to do. And Coach Rick said, I prayed to receive Christ as my personal Savior. I prayed to receive Christ as my personal Savior that day in Coach Bowden's office. Because see, he was able to see the scoreboard. He was able to see the scoreboard. You know, I'm a Tennessee Vol fan. And I've said to people, Tennessee Vols are kind of like a possum. We play dead at home and get killed on the road. You've laughed too long. Let's reel it in. But we had a player at Tennessee years ago. He was maybe one of the greatest defensive players to ever play the game. His name was Reggie White. But he was not only a great defensive player, went on to play with the Packers, but he was a committed Christian. All of his years at Tennessee, he was a committed, committed Christian. They called him the Minister of Defense because he was a great defensive player and he was a minister. He preached. He's in heaven now. Reggie White said this. He said, when life is over and I stand before God. Now get this. He said, when life is over and I stand before God. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's you, that's me. We're all going to stand before God. Every one of us. Reggie White said, when life is over and I stand before God, he'll not ask me how many Pro Bowls I was in. He'll only want to know, do you know Jesus? Because, folks, the only thing that's going to take you to heaven is Jesus Christ and a relationship with Jesus Christ. This football game, 22 guys on a football field fighting for a pigskin when they all could afford to buy their own. Amen? But 22 guys on a football field fighting for a pigskin. But they do teach us that football can't be your foundation. That a football, just like you,'s got to have the right feeling. Football teaches us that we got to have the right fixation. We ought to be in the game. And football teaches us that we got to have the right focus. The clock is counting down for all of us. Why do I challenge people to spontaneously get baptized? Because the clock is counting down. You say, why do you give them the towel and the stuff and say, do it now? Because the clock is counting down. You say, but Pastor Benny, I don't have to get baptized to go to heaven. You have to get baptized to go to heaven obediently. The clock is counting down. Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rocksprings.online.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.